Peter Sunde Kolmisoppi is facing jail and a big fine for assisting copyright infringement. He's a co-founder of The Pirate Bay, which is an unauthorised, or allegedly copyright infringing, unauthorised downloading site for music and movies and whatever. But he's now turned his attention to getting money for artists and copyright holders. He's co-founded another company called Flatter, which provides a quick and easy way to give money to something you like at the press of a button. He says it's the embodiment of a philosophy, very Swedish he is, the embodiment of a philosophy which could change the way the internet works. Meanwhile, the prosecution against him and his Pirate Bay co-founders grinds on. They're on their second appeal to the Supreme Court. I asked Peter Sunde about the nature of Pirate Bay, a file sharing network that, in view of the Swedish prosecutors anyway, can't escape liability.
Pirate Bay is very agnostic towards content, so it was never about deciding which type of content it should be there. The idea was that any type of content could be there. So it's not up to the site's operators or anyone to decide which content goes anywhere. So it's kind of content agnostic, against censorship, for freedom of informational exchange. So that's been the basis for it.
Why don't you just pay the money? Pay the fine?
Well, there is no one that really has that type of money. It's 10 million euros, which is quite a lot of money. That's 10 million more than
what
I have.
What are you up for individually?
It's all together. So if someone can pay it, all of us have to pay. It's like a solidarity thing.
Is it a worry for you? I mean, do you feel like a hunted person?
Not really. It takes a lot of time. That sucks. But otherwise, it's not really a big problem because it's not really a court case that is has anything to do with my personal life in the end, because it's so old and it's not really high. There's like the prison sentence is not really something that will be executed because it's so low numbers. The money is nothing that we really have anyhow. And in Sweden, where none of us lives anymore, it's actually a sensible country where you can, if you can't pay the fines, you still have to have enough money to eat and live from. So it wouldn't affect us anyhow.
Where do you live?
I live in Berlin.
Why Berlin? I mean, why not Sweden?
Why not Berlin? That's rather the question, I would say. It's one of the best cities in the world.
But why not Sweden, given that Sweden is supposed to be the last bastion of anti-copyright?
It's not really.
Apparently not.
No, it's never been that. And that's more a popular myth, I think, that the industry has always been saying in order to make focus on things like the Pirate Bay coming from there. So saying we need to change laws in Sweden and look at this, you're a pirate haven and all of that. But it still has the same laws as the rest of Europe.
Tell me your views on copyright. I mean, why shouldn't, the basic question is, and I mean, of course, we're exercised by this as well. Why shouldn't intellectual property be considered in the same way as material property?
Well, if you want to do it that way, it means, you know, intellectual property breaks material property. So if you own some, like you buy a CD, in any other object that you buy, you can do whatever you want with it. But with the CD, you really only rent it. So it's not really the same thing as material property. It's more restraining on your ability to do things with it. So it's restrictions on your material rights. And it's not suited for the way people behave today. It's not suited for how we are as a people. It's not suited for any type of culture we have.
Because of the internet.
I think internet just made it faster. So the thing with internet, the only thing that it really changed is that we could do everything more efficient. So we, all of us copied music before, all of us copied movies before, but it wasn't on a large scale because it was harder to do it because you needed to do it manually and it was tedious work. But then you had internet, which made it so much more efficient. And nothing really changed in culture. It just made it, you know, go faster. And that became illegal, kind of, whereas it wasn't illegal before. So it's a very strange thing that happened, that we didn't make copyrights really fit the current climate.
But that seems reasonable. I mean, if you can do things on a mass basis, which you can on the internet, then that is obviously a threat to people's intellectual property.
Yeah, but what's the if you look at the threat level of that and you see the research done on it, for instance, you see that artists are making more money from music than ever before because people are file sharing. It makes people more interested in music, and people spend the money on different places than CDs, which are what the record companies are trying to sell.
How are artists making the money?
So most of the artists are doing more gigs. So, for instance, in Sweden, you can see that the number of concerts are going up quite dramatically.
I mean, that's true, and it's certainly true here, but they're forced to do more gigs because they cannot make the money out of recording because people are downloading it for free.
Well, you can't really say that either because people are spending more money on them. So you have to go where the money is. And you can't really say that, you know, we're going to stop file sharing. We're going to make it illegal to use MP3s. We're going to make it illegal to download because that's never going to happen. So either you go where, you know, your fans are, where the money is, or you try to say that I'm against the future. You know, I don't like that the Earth is round. So I'm going to change that. I'm going to make it illegal to be around Earth. That's kind of what the industry is trying to do. And at the same time, most artists are not really upset about file sharing. They're upset about the rights they have towards their record companies, which essentially take 97% of the money from them anyhow. So that's more as a worker movement. They should be really happy for the file sharers coming along because the money is going to their pockets instead for the artists rather than the record companies, which has forced them previously that if you want to get your music out, you have to come to us. So things are changing. That makes everyone in more power except the record companies. But they are also the ones who are upset because they are losing out on having default income, which they didn't really work for because they were the only ones you could go to. They were gatekeepers of culture. They decided which culture was good and bad and who would be allowed to use it. And that changed everything with the internet.
Except that you're always going to have gatekeepers. I mean, let's look for a moment at the system that you set up called Flatter,
yeah,
which is a system of micropayments. Now, you make money out of Flatter. You take 10% of whatever people put out there, right?
Yes.
You're a gatekeeper.
Well, not in the same way.
What's the diff?
The difference is that we don't decide the content. So the content is up to people that want to share content. They do that. We're a system that helps you share that share money on top of the content. So we don't decide, you know, what people should share. We just help them share money on top of that, which is a big difference. So we're not a gatekeeper. We're a payment provider, rather. And the 10% is also something we're going to lower when the system gets bigger. And we know that we think it's a high amount. But compared to 97%, which the usual industry takes, it's very ridiculously low.
How big can you get? I know that you've projected yourselves that you could have, what, is it 1 million by the end of this year?
Well, I wouldn't. That would be minimum, actually, what we think we're going to have. The system is growing quite rapidly, and it's a very interesting thing for most content producers and as well for people that want to support that, because there is a need for people to be able to support and participate, which is one of the good things with Flatter, is that when you kind of give money for something you like, you also get a sense of participation within that. I help with this. I helped him create the next thing, which is why most people would pay for music or movies or anything like that they want to help out with the next thing. And Flatter helps you do that on a very small and large scale at the same time. So that's something which is really good, and people really want that.
I know that you've said that the various industries have turned the participants of the internet into consumers.
Yeah.
What is this? Is this an anti-capitalist position on your part? What is your political position?
Well, I'm a socialist, so, you know, definitely I'm against the capitalist movement, but also I'm trying to use that system with Flatter, which I would see as a mashup of socialism and capitalism combined.
It is, yeah.
It is. And you know, I'm also very
so
pragmatic.
From each according to is what sits and to according to their...
Exactly.
Okay.
So it works in the capitalistic way, but with socialist ideas underneath. And I think most people can kind of agree that it works for them, whatever political stance they have. And within the company, I would say we're mostly leftist people, but there are also people on the right side. But for me, it's a political thing. For other people, it's just technology, and that's fine.
So you... eventually planning to bring down the entire structure of the entertainment industry?
Well, I'd rather say that I want to help the culture industry. And I think that entertainment and culture has been too much combined lately. Like the past 80 years, what we see is that entertainment has just become the hugest part of culture, which it shouldn't really be. Culture should be, well, entertainment should be definitely part of it, but we should also see that there are cultural values which are not, you know, set in values according to money. And we need to support that. So I think that's very important that we try to do.
But Flatter is insisting that in a philosophical fashion, that the best way you can reward somebody is exactly through money, isn't it?
No. That's I would say that's wrong. What you see is that if someone, you can compare Flutter with the like button on Facebook, which is kind of similar in the way it
acts. Well, that's what people have said, that yes. It's the like button plus money.
Exactly. All but right. That also changes the value of the click. So a like doesn't mean anything. It means, you know, it's a cute cat. But a Flutter click means that this is quality that I would be prepared to pay for. All right. I like this on that level.
How do you know that you're not going to end up in exactly the same place as every other mass media? Which is that if you are relying on the taste of the masses to provide money, then, as 50 Cent said, you're going to have everybody making advertising jingles. Do you know what I mean? Quick, catchy things that appeal to the most people, and people who are really doing good stuff are going to get squeezed out. They're not going to get the money. They're not going to get the attention.
Well, that's what the system is today. That's kind of what happens today.
But how do you know that that's not exactly what Flutter is going to facilitate?
We don't know that yet, but we think that the system will help against that. And what we
because
see
you've
also...
got, I mean, with all due respect, as a socialist, you're also an idealist.
Yes.
And you're assuming that, A, people want to pay, people are basically nice, and people have good taste.
Well, I wouldn't say the last thing, but what we see is that people have different taste than what we could expect. And one of the top people that earns money from Flutter is one who makes podcasts, very small podcasts about, you know, German net politics, essentially. And he's never made money before. And all of a sudden, there's people that want to support him in that movement. There are a lot of photographers that never made money from the internet that make a lot of money from Flutter all of a sudden. Because people are really into the niche.
No, so. That's nice. And I can see that in the early days, you know, people who've been toiling away for nothing can suddenly get, you know, little dollops of money that will mount up. But the second wave of people are going to go on Flutter and make complete junk. They're going to make the equivalent of, you know, America's Next Top Model. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think that Flutter will scale to that level for that type of money. So
I'm a pessimist, obviously.
Yeah, that's fine. You're allowed to be. I think that's great, actually. but I think that Flutter shows that, you know, we don't have different scales of what a click is worth. Everything is worth the same. So if you have a Flutter account and you put money in and you give 90% of your clicks away to, let's say, the entertainment industry, you still have 10% left that you might give to someone else. So the long tail, if you want to call it that, also has an easier way to use the same system to get money, which it doesn't do today. If you go to the cinema, you pay for a movie and all of the money goes to the big entertainment industry. And it's like no spillover to the rest of the arts. At the same time, because you don't have the same system, you even have different theaters. So all of a sudden, you have one system that will help you give money to everything, and in the same way, in the same manner, and everyone has the same possibilities of earning money. So it's a fair tool for everyone, and that's what we want to achieve.
Just as a matter of interest, you put your money in monthly, and every time you click a button, a particular button, then at the end of the month, it's all tallied up, and if you've clicked 7 buttons, then the amount of money you've put in is divided up among 7. What if you don't click any buttons at the end of the month? Does it roll over into the next month?
No. So we take the money every month and decide, because we want people to use the system. So if you just wouldn't, you know, let's say it's 2 days left on the month and you decide, you know, I'm not going to click that thing because I would then have to pay. We just said we will always take money and the money will go to charity, which we have on our blog with charities we support. But we're also trying to...
What are the charities you support as a matter of interest?
We decided that all of the people at Flutter, at the office, have different interests. So we decided that we're going to share the money equally amongst us. And people can in the future decide who at the office they want to help. So I give my money to Sea Shepherds, which I love, which I think they're great. And I hope people in New Zealand like them as well, because they go here quite often. And then we have Doctors Without Borders and some other kind of standard charities that we give the money to. But we're also... doing things like subscriptions, that you can subscribe to things for 12 months, so your money will go there for 12 months, and trying to make the
all your money going to one particular thing.
It will be an automatic click every month. So if you find a thing you like, you can click it and say, I want to subscribe to it. So I will give money to for 3, 6, 12 months. And that means that you will have an automatic click during that time. So even if you click nothing, you will have one click there.
Now, as I understand it, this was originally set up in order to fund WikiLeaks. Is that right?
No. Flutter is just something I've been building since 2006.
No, not Flutter, but that capacity.
No, that's a donation thing we added on top of that. Since Flutter works the way that you give a click or you know, you click things and you share the money equally amongst them. People wanted a system that where you could give a certain amount of money to a certain individual. And we added a donation system on top of that. Mm. So you can take money from your kind of wallet that you have with Flutter directly to a certain individual. And that was not set up for WikiLeaks. We had it on the to-do list, but we prioritized it for WikiLeaks.
Because obviously WikiLeaks lost its normal financials facilitators fell away. So are you the only real funding that WikiLeaks is getting now, apart from donations?
They have some text messages you can use and different things, but when it comes to any type of credit card or anything like that, Flutter is the only way you can get money.
Do you know how much money Flutter has put WikiLeaks' way?
Yes, but I couldn't tell you if they don't want to tell you. So we have a strict policy with Flutter that we don't give out numbers for any users, except if they do it themselves.
Right. And I know that you're conscious of data collection and what could be done with data. That raises that issue. What data is there in Flutter? How am I secure in the knowledge that nobody will ever find out where I've put my money?
Well, that is always a trust issue. And I hope people trust us, but I also hope that they don't trust anyone too much. So it's kind of a weird position to be in. The thing we said is that we don't want to know who you are if you don't want to tell us. So as long as we follow regulations within the European Union where the company is based, we're not going to ask you for any additional information. So you can open a Flutter account and be anonymous, but if you want to take out too much money from the system, I think it's over 500 euros, we have to know who you are. But you can fund people without giving out your information if it's on small scale. So and that the system is also set up so you can't give too much money today because we don't want to go into all
so
of those
details. So I
can't
launder my drug money through you?
No, it's impossible.
All right. You know, when Google first started, for example, you know, it was all do no evil and we're on the side of the people and blah, very similar to the kind of philosophy that you're espousing today. Did they go bad when they got too big, in your view?
I think that Google kind of want to make money as the original idea. They were interested in the money, and I think we are interested in changing things. So we have a better starting point than they have probably when it comes to that. Also, Google is much more...
You mean you can't do both?
Well, you can do both. Flutter is a system where you can make money and you can still do good. But it's based on the possibility for you making money is based on being good. So if we would start doing something bad, people would go somewhere else, hopefully. And that's kind of my hope that people will have that insight that, you know, if we do something bad, tell us and go away. Because, the community needs to say no to things which are bad. So the problem with Google is that they have no competition and they have they're so huge that, you know, they started doing whatever they wanted because there was no possibility of stopping them. And I think that's something we won't see with Flutter, because if we become a really huge tool, people will start and do the same as us. And we're always trying to be open and not store data or keep data and not give it away to people. So our users will always have their data if they want it back. You know, it's theirs to have. So we won't lock you into our system.
You do have competition. I mean, Kachingle. I mean, even advertising, people say, yeah, we already have micro payment systems. We've got, you click on something and the advertiser, blah. What makes you different from all these other systems?
I think first it's the philosophy we have, why we want to do it. Then it's also the thing that we are more interested in. We're also very content agnostic, just as the Pirate Bay was. And the Flutter is very content agnostic. So you can use Flutter for, let's say, a glass of water. You could Flutter the glass of water if it was just somehow connected to the system. So we don't say that you should support this site or this artist. You should support this individual thing, which most don't do. Like a Kachingle is more about sites in general, and you pay money to a producer. In Flutter, it's things, and also that anyone can be the producer. So we've kind of erased the idea that users are different. All of them are the same in our system. So you can receive and send money within the same account. So we have a different view on how the internet works.
I'm talking to Peter Sunde Kolmisoppi, who's a Swedish co-founder of the Pirate Bay, and now Flutter, social micropayment system. Flutter's doing particularly... I mean, I know you said you live in Berlin. Flutter's doing particularly well in Germany.
Yes.
Is this a coincidence? Or are you in Berlin because of that?
No.
Is it doing well because you're there?
I think it's based on the fact that in Germany there was a huge discussion when Flutter was released about micropayments and about funding for blogs and journalism. And at the same time, I was speaking at some German conferences where there was key people that started using Flutter that saw the speeches and the talks I had and find the system to be very good. And they kind of evangelized the system to their readers and viewers. So that's been very helpful.
And so there's a couple of major German newspapers who use it now.
Yes.
How does that work for them?
Well, they're not making, you know, enough money to stop using advertising or anything like that.
But are the newspapers themselves accruing the money, or is it journalists on the newspapers or columnists on the newspapers?
We haven't really figured that out yet. They have one account for the newspaper.
And I mean, do you mind? Because, I mean, presumably, I don't know what it is in Germany, certainly in this part of the world and in many parts of the world, newspapers are owned by media conglomerates. All right? So a media conglomerate could use Flutter. That's okay?
That's fine. Everyone can use it. We're not going to discriminate just because they have bad ideals in the rest of the their life. You can't really say that you're for freedom of speech and then be against freedom of speech for some. So, you know, we're going to allow everyone that can legally use the system to use it. The problem we see, or I have with a media conglomerate or a newspaper and any sort of organization using Flutter, is that, let's say, a journalist starts writing good articles and the newspaper makes a lot of money on Flutter, and you know, his boss says, well, we're going to deduct some of your money from your salary and give you some money from Flutter. Then it becomes a problem because that's not really what we wanted. But that's also something we're going to try to weed out and see what happens,
But you'd have no control over that?
No, we don't have that control. And it's one of the bad things with the system, but at the same time, you can't really find a system that is flawless. But we're trying also to think about these things and find ways to make sure that that doesn't happen.
How would you do that?
We don't really know at this time. So there is still things we need to experiment with. And we always say that.
I mean, there's no way if you say, you know, people become so big and their aim is to make money and this is the nature of the world after all, then there are ways that Flutter could be abused and you accept that.
Yes, some abuse will always be there in terms of, you know, abusing the ideal of the system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the greater good, it will be better that if Flutter exists than not. That's kind of how we look at it.
So do you know people who are making a livable wage out of Flutter by their music or their art or their writing?
Yeah, there are a couple of them, some German podcasters and bloggers and so on that are making enough money to live from.
And is that your ideal or do you just see it as a kind of a top-up?
It's good that they're doing that, but it's also scary that they use Flutter as a major source of their income because we don't know what's going to happen next month or the month after and so on, because we don't really know the system too well yet. It's still an experiment and it's still something we are developing and it's still in beta and all of that. So it's kind of scary, but at the same time, it shows that the system works where you can fund kind of a niche thing with using a tool like that. Mm. So I'm happy about it, but at the same time, it's kind of scary for the reason that we have some responsibility towards these people.
People have said, you know, it's pretty weird. Somebody who came from Pirate Bay, which said nobody's really entitled to own intellectual property in that fashion. Now you're saying, well, people need to be rewarded for it. You don't see any contradiction there?
No, I think it's exactly the same. The same values, the same ideals behind it, at least for me. We're different people that were part of Pirate Bay. We had totally different political views as well, which is why we are not really, we don't speak about other things besides copyright and the internet together. But Flutter is based on the idea that, people need money to survive and to make a living and to be rewarded. Pirate Bay was based on the idea that people need to be able to share information. And then the problem of people not being able to give money back to the people who create, that's something different, which you couldn't solve within Pirate Bay. Because you're not allowed to sell things on Pirate Bay, obviously. So the copyright becomes a problem at that time where you can't actually help that. So Flutter is something which I kind of became a system based on the problems I saw with the Pirate Bay, not for, you know, society, but more for people who actually create, that they have no fair way of getting money back. And at the same time, I've always been very interested in the discussion of copyright and intellectual property and the workers' movement and all of that. And when I went to debates and talked about the Pirate Bay, there was always this question from the music industry or the record industry, you know, how can we make money from the internet now? Because everything is for free. And I was upset about that because, you know, why should you make money from the internet? Why shouldn't your artists? Why aren't you saying you are? How should artists make money from the internet? Because they're not interested in that. So Flutter is a system which helps that happen instead and doesn't really care about companies that own copyright. It just cares about people who create.
Do you ever go to the movies?
Yeah, often, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a social thing. I go to the movies with my girlfriend or with friends and we see a movie together and, you know, we eat popcorn and buy overpriced drinks and, you know, all of that. It has very little to do with the movie. It has a lot to do with the social event.
And so you would also download all sorts of things that you wanted to see as well?
Yes.
Movies included?
Yes.
So do you think that that's the way of the future? That sooner or later, our movie theatres are going to be full of people who aren't really there for the movie at all?
I think that's been the, you know, the past 30 years is, you know, the movie is more an excuse to go to the theatre.
Out of the house.
Yeah, and do something social. Because that's a problem with you. You know, we have all the information we can ever possibly want from the internet. You know, the problem is not, you know, how to get the information. The problem is weeding it out, which information is valuable, and then doing something with it. And the movie will always be, the movie theater will always be better than being at home watching a movie because you have the best screen, you have the best sound, you have enough space for your friends. And they're not going to have problems with the file sharing. Rather, you see the people that file share a lot, they go more to the movies because they're interested in getting out of the house and seeing the same movies.
So what would you say to a movie executive who says, you know, you claim that I'm a nasty, predatory, greedy person, but I'm providing an experience and you're undermining me by saying that I'm not entitled to make money out of that?
We're not saying you're not entitled to make money from it. If you do something good, people will pay you for it. But you can't force people to pay you for something just because you think you have a sense of entitlement to it. You have to work for the money, just as in any other line of work. You know, there's not going to be something, I'm a movie producer, I'm just going to get money for free. It doesn't work like that. And what you see is that most people, you know, the Hollywood movies doesn't really go bad in terms of economy. They make so much money from the movies that before they even open sometimes, they have made more money than the movie costs to produce. At the same time, you have actors that make so much money that it's just ridiculous, which they shouldn't really need. You know, they're selling brands and all of that. It's something that has just become really crazy in that world. And I hope with the internet, you know, that will be more about creating art than creating just fancy explosions.
So maybe we could go to the movies in a movie theater and we'd all have a little button and we would press it when the people that we really liked did something that they really liked. And that would be the only way that they would get their money. How would that work?
Well, otherwise it could be that if I don't like the movie, they should pay me afterwards. You know, they took my time. Why shouldn't I be paid?
So is Flutter going to occupy you for the foreseeable future, or are you involved in other things also?
Well, I'm
aside
doing,
from your court case.
Well, I'm doing other things, but I'm trying to focus solely on Flutter and discussing the internet because it's a very interesting and important political thing for me. And making sure that censorship doesn't really affect internet and we don't have those types of system. And that goes hand in hand because Flutter is an anti-censorship tool for me and I want to work with that. So I do political work and I do Flutter and I try to not do anything outside of that scope, but I'm also helping with other small projects which are in the same kind of ideals behind.
I mean, you're obviously hoping that Flutter is going to change the way people see stuff, see things.
Or at least value things in different ways.
It's going to have to become huge. I mean, huge in order to make a difference.
Well, for some people, it already made all the difference. So, you know, it works on the German scale.
But that's not a system change, is it?
No.
That's
But everything starts in small scale. And if we just make sure that Flutter works as good as possible and it picks up, that's good. If someone else takes Flutter and makes it into something better and makes a competing system, which is much more smart and more clever, I'm happy with that as well, just as long as we try to make something happen. Because what we see is that nothing has really happened when it comes to payments or ways of rewarding people for content the past 20, 40 years, something like that. So we need to have some changes and we need to adopt that to the reality and not being based on what industries want, because that's not really fair.
Do you feel in any way betrayed by Sweden? When this case was brought against you, did it take you by surprise?
Well, not really by surprise, but the level of it took me by surprise. You know, it took 2 days after the raid in Sweden 2006 before we knew that the U.S. government was behind it, which is criminal offense in Sweden for the ministers to actually execute what the different countries says they should
execute.
So
you're saying that the U.S. government forced Sweden to take action against Pirate Bay?
The U.S. government says so as well, and the Swedish government are the only one saying it's not that, you know, in that way.
And you're suggesting that this would be at the behest of the companies in the United States that felt threatened by Pirate Bay?
So the Swedish TV did a huge research during the days after the raid and found out and talked to the U.S. embassy in Sweden, and they talked to the companies that were behind the raid or behind the pressure of the White House, and they told the whole story. And the Swedish ministers just said, yes, we talked to them. Yes, we went to the White House and all of that, and we discussed this issue, but we're not allowed to do anything. The prosecutor said that, yes, we had a discussion. You know, that we were informed that the White House pressured Sweden to do this, and we were informed that if you don't do anything, it would be trade sanctions. And we listened to that, and then we decided. So it's not really that anyone told anyone. They just told them what's going to happen if you don't do anything, which is essentially the same as breaking the law of minister rule in Sweden, where the ministers are not allowed to tell prosecutors or police what to actually do in individual cases.
So there's no doubt in your mind that Sweden, under threat of trade sanctions by the United States, brought the case against you.
That's definitely that's a fact that we've known since 2006. But there's a lot of different things which has gone wrong in the court case. There were one police officer that was responsible for the investigation, was working for Warner Brothers during the last months of his investigation. The judge was a member of the Pro-Copyright Society. He was on the board for the Pro-Copyright Society in Sweden. Some of the jurors were owners of record court companies. And it was just, it's been a really big mess in Sweden with all of this.
And so all these things will presumably forming part of your latest appeal, are they?
Some of it is going in there, not all of it, but we're still appealing on the level that this is not illegal, that Pirate Bay has never broken the law, and there is European Union directive that says exactly that. But the Swedish court system has said that, you know, it's not applicable with the European Union directive for some reason, which is not comprehensible to us.
So this appeal is the last appeal that you've got, right?
Then you have the European Union court as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's two appeals left.
So where are you getting all the money from to fund this?
So in Sweden, being somewhat a sensible country still in some senses, we have public...
They can fund you all the way to the European court?
Yes, we have public defenders that we can pick whichever defender we want, and Sweden will pay a set amount of money per hour they work. So we got some of the top lawyers in Sweden that wanted to do this work.
Effectively pro bono, is it?
No, it's good pay. It's like 200 euros per hour.
Paid by the taxpayer?
By the government, yes.
And do the Swedish taxpayers like you?
The Swedish people, they love us. And there was the day after the first verdict, there was one of the biggest newspapers had this poll, and there was 99.2% that said that the court case was bogus and was wrong. And there was 0.8% that was a marginal error, that pressed the wrong button, basically.
Mm. I mean, are you happy with taxpayers paying for your long-running defence appeal, even if individually those taxpayers may not support you?
Well, not really super happy that taxpayers has to pay for this at all, but in the end...
Because they don't have any choice, right?
No, but we
also don't
have any
choice. So I'm just extending your philosophy and suggesting that ultimately, everybody should just have a button and choose what they fund.
Well, not really that.
Why not?
That's different when it comes to digital content, which has no price tag on replicating, and work, actually physical work that you can't really replicate for free to anyone else. So it's very different saying that every work should be for free. It's not what I'm saying at all. It's just that we have to fund something which doesn't cost...
No, I'm not saying that. No. I'm saying that if you endorse the idea of people addressing their money exactly to where they want their money to go, then where does that leave a society? I may not want my money to go to your defence. I may not want my money to go to a warship. So I will not press that button. Where does your society end up?
Well, I believe in that society should decide together where money should be spent in the government, obviously. You know,
do you?
Yeah, I believe in taxes. Quite heavily. I really like taxes and I like the whole
thing. Well,
idea
I bet you
it.
Do.
Yeah.
That's why you're having your second appeal in the Supreme Court.
Well, it's actually one good thing with the appeal, the last appeal, was that we actually won on the grounds that we had the most amount of rights we won more than 51% of the things we appealed. That means that we won the case in the court way to look at it. So the opposing party had to pay for our lawyers, actually. So in the end, the taxpayers didn't pay in the end. But I'm still
but
happy.
But you see my argument.
Yes, but I also think that people have the right to a fair trial. And I like the system where I can choose my own lawyer in Sweden because I don't have to go with the public defender that has been decided for me, because that would not be really a fair trial. And I think, you know, I'm happy to pay things in taxes that goes to people that I have, you know, even smokers that I think it's stupid to smoke, but I still think that we should help smokers to have a better life and pay if they get cancer and all of that, because it's good for the society. And it shouldn't just be all about one person. I'm not really into the individualism in society. Everything is, you know.
Because that's interesting, because flatter is exactly about the individual. It's about me liking exactly that one thing and pressing the button.
But it's adding money on top of something which is for free by de facto for free today. So it's a bit different. If everything were for free, you know, it would just be no money involved at all. But then you have this thing that when it comes to things which I'm not only talking about culture. Let's say, for instance, you started downloading physical objects, which we will be able to do in a couple of years.
Do you think?
I didn't bring my downloaded glass, but I could do that next time I see you.
Now, how would that work?
There are 3D printers today that you can buy. It's 500 euros for one 3D printer, and then you can start copying it. You can print out copies of it. And that's what people are going to download in the future.
I could download a new kitchen table.
Yes, it will be, you know, you will have to fill your printer with parts to print it, but that's what's going to happen. And if you see history, you know, you see 30 years back in time, you know, the CD was kind of cyberspace. It was out there. It was science fiction. And that might be the same case today, that printing physical objects is science fiction, but it's the way we're going. And that will also change things dramatically. And if everything is for free, we have to find another way to fund creation of that. You know, if each copy is for free, the idea of paying per copy is not working anymore. We have to find another way to fund it. And that's an exception to the physical world, where everything has a price tag in terms of how much it actually costs to produce the plastic part or the labor on top of that, that is going into a certain copy. So it doesn't really exist in a digital world. So that's the big difference. That's also why Flatter is about something else than normal society would be about. Mm.
It's kind of scary. Do you get scared about it?
No, I'm happy about it. I think it's great.
Because somebody's going to have to suffer. I mean, some poor sod who currently earns a living wage from making a table is not going to have that job.
But at the same time, all the people that can't afford a table or, you know, the earth, which doesn't afford that tables are being shipped from one side of the globe to the other, all of a sudden they will make, you know, they will feel better as well. There's always going to be people that lose out on shifts of paradigms. But it's more important to not stop paradigm shifts, because it will essentially be the only way forward for our society, because you can't have a locked system where everything is the same all the time.
I forgot to remind Peter Sunday Komisopi that we didn't use the word paradigm on this program. But nevertheless, there he is. He was one of the speakers at the Webstock conference in Wellington this past week, and another of the speakers at that conference, Merlin Mann, will join us at around about 11:30. Also,